Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and my redeemer. Sean gratos los dichos de mi boca y la meditación de mi corazón delante de ti, O Jehová, roca mía y redentor mío. You may be seated. Have you ever been faced with an impossible task? Asked to do something that you knew was beyond your capability, yet necessary for you to do? Although context is always important, it's especially so with respect to today's gospel reading. You see, it had been an eventful day for the disciples. The irregularities began when Jesus insisted on washing their feet. And as if that were not confusing enough, he then foretold that one of them would betray him. He continued by informing Simon Peter that despite Peter's love for him, he would in fact deny him. So this is where they were. The treasurer would be bailing ship, and the future chairman of the board would deny association. But despite the pending failures, Jesus had assured them that he was going to prepare a place for them. And the confusion was palpable. Thomas had insisted that they had no idea where they were going. How could they continue without Christ present with them? Philip, obviously feeling the pressure, had asked Jesus to just reveal to them the Father, something, anything to help them in his absence, since he insisted that he was leaving them. Jesus' response had been to assure them that he was going to the Father, but they and those who followed him would do even greater works than he had done. So if you can imagine with me, the disciples gathered, staring at Christ with glazed eyes and a caption over them with the word, "How?" That's where they were. As Jesus began this discourse on the promise of the Holy Spirit in verse 15, that's where they were. And he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Again, how? You see, the law had ceased to be a list of rules and had become a person, God as man, Jesus. Demonstration of love for Jesus would now take the form of obedience to his commandments. If you continue to love me, you will keep my commandments. We find ourselves doing all kinds of things out of love. When we love someone, the demonstration of that love takes the form of sacrifice at times. We will do things, go places, all because of our love for that one. And if my wife were here, she would tell you that she has eaten all kinds of food simply because she loves me. The law had now become personified, and Jesus was saying to his disciples that the natural demonstration of their love for him would take place in the form of obedience. They would obey him. They would love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind, and love their neighbors as themselves. But again, the question is still there, like the proverbial elephant in the middle of the room. How? How could they possibly obey his commandments without him? I mean, he was physically present and they were already messing it up. He had just foretold Judas' betrayal and Peter's denial. How in the world? And the answer is certain, only the answer is not of the world. Jesus gave a clear response to this question in verse 16 when he says, "I will ask the Father and he will give to you." As Philip had asked him earlier to reveal the Father, Jesus responded by saying, "You've already seen the Father in me, and the one who is coming will stay with you, will remain with you." He then begins to describe the person of the Holy Spirit. And parenthetically, let me just mention here that we do not serve a triune God with a split personality. The Creed absolutely describes the dynamic of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as being one united flow. So if you want to understand more about the Holy Spirit, read about Jesus in the Gospels. Because the Holy Spirit is not some spooky phantom or specter. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity, who is the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with them is worshipped and glorified, and he is with us always. And it is the fifth Sunday of Easter, so it is okay to say, Alleluia. You can do a bit better than that. It is okay to say alleluia. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be, first of all, their helper. For those of us who have studied a second language, we can attest that one of the most frustrating aspects of translation, especially translation into a Germanic language, is the limitation. Their words, especially in the Romantic languages, for which we have no one-word English translation. And that is the case with helper. If you could combine helper, advocate, and counselor, then you would be at the beginning of being able to embracing the meaning of the word paraclete, although that still doesn't give full justice to the word. The Greeks used the word paraclete to mean someone who is called in. And could you just sit with that a moment? Someone who's called in, a helper, advocate, or counselor who is called in. William Barclay wrote, "It is the reason why the person is called in which gives the word its distinct associations. A paraclete might be a person called in to give witness in a law court in someone's favor, or an advocate called in to plead the cause of someone under a charge which would issue in a serious penalty. An expert called in to give advice in some difficult situation, or a person called in when, for example, a company of soldiers were depressed and dispirited to put new courage into their minds and hearts. Always a paraclete is someone called in to help in time of trouble or need." We often talk about being able to cope with things, and that is precisely the work of the Holy Spirit. He takes away our inadequacies and enables us to cope with life. The Holy Spirit substitutes victorious for defeated living. So what Jesus is saying is, I'm setting you on a hard task, and I'm sending you out on a very difficult engagement, but I'm going to send you someone, the paraclete, who will guide you as to what to do and enable you to do it. You see, just as the disciples knew that Christ was calling them to an impossible task, we should know that we also are called to live for him in impossible situations. We are asked to obey him. In fact, obedience in our lives will give evidence that we are his. But the looming question for all of us, just as it was for the disciples, is how? And to us, he gives the same answer. I have given you the paraclete. He has called in the specialist to walk alongside us through every season of life, not just the easy times. He will be with us through the challenging times, the times when life visits and things are quite out of control and not of our own making, and those times when we feel condemned by our own behavior. Even then, he, the advocate, has been sent to walk alongside us. During those moments when there is no apparent answer, he, the specialist, is called in. Whatever our situation, whatever our need, Jesus said, there will be a paraclete, the one who is called in. Jesus then expanded the explanation of the role of the Holy Spirit by defining him as the Spirit of truth. In other words, he would be their guide. And we see this aspect of the work of the Spirit play out in Luke's writings in the book of Acts. In moments of indecision, he, the paraclete, would give wisdom and direction. He would give truth. He would guide the apostles in the early church through impossible situations. From the Jerusalem Council to Paul's journeys, we see the hand of the Holy Spirit leading into truth. And this did not end when the last apostle died. We read quotes of Ignatius in the first century referring to the work of the Holy Spirit. Clement of Alexandria in the second century wrote, "Thus also, we who are baptized have wiped off the sins which obscure the light of the divine Spirit, have the eye of the Spirit free, unimpended, and full of light, by which alone we contemplate the divine, the Holy Spirit flowing down to us from above." Clearly, the Lord did not leave the early church or the church fathers without a guide. It was the work of the paraclete who gave light during moments of confusion and uncertainty. In a few moments, we will stand and recite the Nicene Creed. And this creed is an example of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, having led and guided the church fathers. As we study church history throughout the Middle Ages and into the Reformation, we see repeatedly that the Holy Spirit led the church into truth. The church was never left without guidance. And today we can rest in the truth that has been collectively provided for us by those who have gone before us. You see, we do not have to recreate the wheel. He not only guides us collectively, he will also guide our personal walk if we open our heart to him to do so. Whatever the challenge you are facing this morning, I invite you to ask for his guidance. Be open to the Spirit of truth. Lastly, he would be their guardian. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. He promised presence. I will come to you. And you know, presence is everything. It speaks of constancy. Because he promised to abide with them. And this spoke to the doubts and fears being expressed by his disciples. This spoke to the how. There are times in our lives when we don't need voices. All we need is the presence of a trusted friend or family member. But even those can have limitations. Jesus has promised us presence, constant, permanent presence through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's promised life. Because I live, you also will live. The Spirit breathes life into lifeless moments. My grandfather was an East Coast farmer, and he had seemingly hundreds of expressions that I never heard spoken from anyone else's lips. Some of them are repeatable from behind the pulpit. One of them, he would say, when faced with a dire situation, he would say, I've seen sicker dogs get better. Now, I don't know what sick dog you're dealing with today, but please know that the Holy Spirit is able to breathe life into whatever challenge you're facing. He's able to raise up life, in fact, from ashes. That same Spirit will one day quicken us, raising us from physical death to eternal life, because he promised love, unconditional, unmerited, unlimited love. This is a love that many seek in the form of a temporal relationship. However, it is only found in the presence of God. Jesus promised that through his Spirit, he will love us and manifest himself in us. As I conclude this morning, could we take the opportunity to ask ourselves if it could be that sometimes we are attempting to do the impossible without calling in the specialist? In a few moments, we'll gather at the table once again, and Christ has promised to meet us there. If you find yourself struggling with the impossible, and like the disciples, at a loss as to how to move forward, I invite you to open yourself to his presence, to his Spirit, the one who has been called in to be your helper, your guide, and your guardian. If you find that you need someone to pray with you, there will be prayer teams at the back of the nave. They'll be willing to join with you and invite the Spirit, the Paraclete, the one whom is called in to walk with you today on your journey. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit.